Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. So glad to have you on the journey with us today, and thanks for listening. By the way, I owe you a report from our wonderful event last week. We had an incredible time in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and in the studio with me is Sharon Epps. Sharon, it was great, wasn't it?
You know what? It was just wonderful to be with the listeners in person and to celebrate what God was doing.
I heard so many testimonies from listeners who have been a part of this ministry for years and years and years. Many of them are still talking about the impact of Larry Burkett, the impact of Howard Dayton, and even some new listeners who tune in every day and are following God's ways, applying His truth into their life, and seeing wonderful results.
You know, whether they listen by podcast, catch up, or if they listen live while we broadcast, it was just wonderful to see how they're applying those principles and really understanding what it takes to live in God's economy.
Well, we have some wonderful partners in Chattanooga, especially WMBW, our broadcast partner that really rolled out the red carpet. What a great event that they hosted. We had a full house, Sharon. And I was just so pleased to be in Chattanooga and to meet all those dear listeners.
And you know what? It was so fun to see the children that came, along with the older adults and families and people united from churches all across town.
One of the testimonies that was shared from the audience was a man who had been unemployed for 10 long months. And just two nights before the event, he found a job, and he stood and gave praise to the Lord for how faithful God had been to him during those 10 months. And everybody clapped. It was such an uplifting...
It was just a spontaneous applause.
You know, I love these events because they're about God's faithfulness, and He is exalted in these events. And I just came back so encouraged, and I can't wait to do more of them.
Me neither. You know what touched me was the gentleman that told us the story of walking with his wife with cancer, and he just lost her 4 months before. But what he said was that he was an evangelist that was dependent on preaching to have an income. And during the season she had cancer, he had no preaching income at all because he was tending to her. And yet he said God provided so abundantly for them that they were able to give more than they ever had in any year before. And it was just a wonderful praise of how God is so near to those, even when they're in pain.
Well, Sharon, don't get me started, because I will go on and on about the testimonies. One of the listeners that came to the event said that her greatest desire was to get Crown started in her local church, and she left equipped and prepared to go and minister to others. So that one really touched me. Well, today we're going to go into the mailbox. Sharon and I are going to answer questions that you've submitted to us. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
You know, God encourages us to invest, and He says in Ecclesiastes 11:2 to spread out or diversify to lower our risk. And one of the best ways to diversify is mutual funds. That's why Crown Financial Ministries offers the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, a step-by-step guide to managing your money from a biblical perspective, written by Austin Pryor. Recently updated to address timely topics, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook is one of the most comprehensive guides available on mutual fund investing. Yet, it's still easy to understand and use. And since this handbook is written from a biblical perspective, it'll teach you how to apply God's financial principles to your investing decisions. So whether you're a beginning investor or one with more experience, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook will help you invest more wisely. To get a copy, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps. And Sharon, last month's Money Matters newsletter stirred up a lot of questions, and we continue to hear from our listeners who are following up on my prediction of the top five trends for 2010. And by the way, if you don't receive our Money Matters newsletter, it's free, and you can sign up at crown.org. Well, Sharon, one of the listeners wanted to know something very specific about that article. What was the question?
You know, Brenda in Lockport, New York, wanted to know, what can people do to prepare for those trends that you wrote about for 2010?
Well, in general, the five trends that I wrote about indicated that 2010 is going to be a year of recovery and that everybody needed to be prepared for a long recovery and probably one that experts are calling a jobless recovery. So Brenda, my advice to prepare, and this is for you and anybody who feels unprepared for more financial difficulty ahead, is to apply God's financial principles, to actually put them into practice. I recently interviewed one of our representatives who lives in Iceland. And Iceland experienced a complete collapse of their currency in 2008. And the amazing part of his testimony is that it didn't really affect him. He was actually prepared and somewhat insulated from a terrible financial calamity. And I asked him, what would be your advice to somebody who might be facing that anywhere in the world? And he said, it's very simple. Follow God's advice. Get debt-free. Live beneath your means, meaning spend less than you earn, and increase your savings so that you have financial margin. And if you do those three things, it doesn't matter what happens around you. You're prepared. So it's going to take a concerted effort to put those three things into practice. Establish a plan to get debt-free, start spending less than you earn, and put more money away. And I would add one more thing to what our friend from Iceland shared with us. I would increase your generosity this year. I think that's so important to break the bonds or the grip of materialism in your life. But put those into practice and let me know how you're doing.
And, you know, Brenda, I also would just say, focus on the word margin. Margin allows you to have the space to be flexible. If your income goes down, if you are living on less than you earn, then you're able to adjust to that quickly. And that allows you to feel less impact than you would if you're living right on the edge. So one key word to remember is margin.
Well, here's another response from that article from Robin. She wrote, I've been a follower of your ministry for over a year, and I just finished listening to the Money Life podcast on the top five trends for 2010. You indicated in that program we should not be taking on any new debt during these uncertain economic times. What about debt for your business? Are we expected to wait until we can fully fund a project before taking it on? Sharon, you have a background in the commercial banking. How would you answer that question?
Well, you know, I experienced firsthand that the borrower is servant to the lender. And even as a banker, I was the unintended master over many people that borrowed. But on the flip side of that, God actually encouraged you to be a lender. It's a way that you earn income. And for a business in particular, we really have three specific tips on handling business debt. First of all, the general principle is borrow as little as possible. Invest as much equity as you can so that you, again, have margin and you're able to pay it back more quickly. And that leads to the second one. Pay back the debt as quickly as possible. Even if your banker allows you 10 or 15 years to repay, set up your own schedule where you can prepay if at all possible. The third tip is borrow against the assets of the business rather than a personal line of credit or personally guaranteeing the loans. That way, if something does go wrong, the bank is satisfied by the assets themselves and does not come after you personally.
And Robin, I would add to that that the Bible never says, never teaches that debt is sin. Debt is something to be avoided. You're to be very careful with it. I like to substitute the word fire when you think of the word debt. Debt can be much like fire. It's a useful servant, but a terrible master. And if you can control it, it can do a great deal of good. It can be very, very useful. But if it ever gets out of control, that fire will consume you. So treat debt very cautiously. And as Sharon said, borrow as little as possible and have a plan to pay it back as quickly as possible.
Robin, one additional caution I want to give you is the use of credit cards to finance your business, particularly with small businesses. I have seen owners use the credit cards to actually be long-term loans and to borrow for long-term purposes on credit cards. And of course, at the high interest rates that the credit cards charge, it's very, very difficult to pay back.
Well, Sharon, we get many questions about tithing. And here's one from Renee with a question about her frustration over trying to tithe.
You know what, Renee says, I've heard you say that you should at least give 10% of your gross income. I was wondering why you should give on the gross. I never seem to be able to give off the gross. It's closer to the net. I'm not looking for an out. It's just that I feel like as far as our retirement and Social Security, we'll be giving on that income later. Is that wrong? I get discouraged because I'd like to quit my job, but I feel like I have to work so that we can give, and that we can't even seem to give the 10% that I hear everyone say is required.
Well, Renee, I think it's a great question. In fact, it's a very honest question, and I appreciate your transparency about it. Many listeners have this same frustration. They want to give more, but they feel stuck. I do believe the Lord calls us to tithe off of our gross income. It's the same principle as giving from your first fruits. To give from the very first of your income, that belongs to the Lord. Some people call it the holy part of your income. It is truly not yours to use at all. It's God set aside for His purposes and His kingdom. So before anything else, I would make it a priority that you learn to give from your gross. Now, God is not requiring you to do that. We use that term tithe, but of course in the New Testament, Renee, the Lord said that we should give with a cheerful heart as much as we are able. So He's very concerned about our heart attitude towards this. He's not looking to punish you if you're not able to tithe on your gross, but He wants to encourage you because it's for your good to learn to do that. And I would take the Lord up on His challenge to test Him in this. It's the only place in Scripture where the Lord says to try Him and test Him. So try it for a month, try it for 2 months, try it for 90 days, and just see if the Lord doesn't somehow take care of your needs in another way that you could have never figured out on paper. Just put Him to the test and let me know how it goes. I want to track with you on this one, Renee.
And you know, Renee, I want to encourage you. I'm actually working with a couple that has taken a 90-day challenge to tithe for the very first time in their lives. And each week they check in with me. And what is so wonderful is to see the joy in their hearts when they share what they're able to give.
Well, I remember a pastor who challenged his entire congregation to put God to the test for 90 days. And if anybody had a problem, after 90 days to come see him. And the only person that came to see him was a member of his congregation upset that he hadn't challenged them to do it earlier. Well, you're listening to Money Life. In the studio with me today is Sharon Epps. We're answering questions from our listeners. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it feels like talking to your young child about money just isn't enough, there's a fun, easy, and visual way you can show them how to honor God with their money. The ABC Learning Bank from Crown Financial Ministries. This popular tool goes beyond the traditional piggy bank. Created with three colorful compartments in the shape of letters, the ABC Learning Bank will give your child a fun, hands-on learning experience as they discover that A is for giving, B is for saving, and C is for spending. Imagine them applying that learning for a lifetime. The ABC Learning Bank is recommended for children ages 3 and older. To order an ABC Learning Bank for a child in your life, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. Again, the ABC Learning Bank is available by calling 1-800-722-1976 or visiting crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're answering questions from our listeners. And by the way, if you would like to write me and ask a question, just go to crown.org and there you'll see a button that says Ask Chuck. And you can submit your questions and we'll try to answer them either offline or on the air. Well, this question comes from Amanda, who's writing from Streamwood, Illinois. I'm a single mom who is 5 months pregnant. I have around 4 different types of student loans to pay off. Would it be a good idea for me to consolidate my loans? And if so, where should I go? Sharon, why don't you take this one first?
Well, you know, Amanda, one of the things we want to do is just encourage you that through these many changes in your life, God is your provider, and He will be the one that helps you work through this situation. So let's answer your first question. Is it a good idea to consolidate your loans? With student loans, it really can be very helpful because it will lower your payment and give you an opportunity to be able to manage it better. We suggest that you go to www.loanconsolidation.com. ed.gov to see if you qualify. But let me give you a bigger picture on consolidating debt. One of the dangers that I've seen as I've counseled people through the years is that they will consolidate their debt with the full intent to get out of debt. But because of the fact that they haven't yet learned to live beneath their means, they actually accumulate more debt because of the release from the consolidation loan. So let me encourage you, Amanda, check out the consolidation loan, but at the same time, be sure that you've developed a plan to live within your means.
Sharon, last week at our Chattanooga event, I met a listener who said that his life had been changed listening to the program because he had accumulated a lot of debt and he took it into retirement, and his number one goal was to get rid of it any way that he could. And so he signed up with a company that promised to do the debt elimination, to just get rid of it, basically by negotiating it away. And it started to bother him. And he heard Candy Hildebrandt give her testimony about facing the debt head on, taking responsibility for it, seeking help. And so he switched to a debt management plan with the intent of paying it all back. And he said he's sleeping well at night. He feels closer to the Lord as a result of it, and he's making great progress. So to those of you who are faced with a mountain of debt, consolidation can be a good first step, but don't stop there. Continue all the way through to have a plan to get it all paid off.
And, you know, following God's principles in his economy always work, because that's the way he designed for us to live.
You know, Sharon, we're here to teach God's principles. And I've said it so many times that when you follow God's ways, there's the element of surprise and mystery of what only God can do. And how many times have we heard it across this ministry that people started to do their part faithfully? They just make a small step. They make a commitment. They speak to the Lord and say, help, I want out of this bondage. I want to get free. And they start down a path, and the Lord will do something unbelievable, like cut the time in half. Or make it go away in a way that they could have never, ever dreamed on paper. No financial plan could have ever done it, but God makes all the difference.
And, you know, the visual I love to use when I'm talking with people is the visual of the Israelites stepping into the Red Sea, because it was only after they put their feet in that raging water that God parted those waters, and he wants to see us take those steps of obedience, and it's amazing how he shows up.
Absolutely, Sharon. Our part is to be obedient and to be faithful and to watch what only God can do. And that's why I take such exception to those who teach financial principles and call them common sense. They call them man's wisdom. They call them proven techniques. All of that is humanism. And as Christians, we're not simply following practiced behaviors. We have a dynamic relationship with the living God. And the living God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with the living God. And it's so important to surrender your heart to his ways and to say, Lord, I want to know you better. And not only will you see a financial benefit, but your soul will prosper. You will see the kindness of God in a very experiential way. And that's why I get so excited about it when any of our listeners make a decision, today's the day. Today, I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to do it God's way.
And, you know, God's way, we often refer to as God's economy, and it's that integration of recognizing him as Lord, serving as a faithful steward, and being generous.
Absolutely. Well, we've got another question. Here's one from Kim in Wisconsin. Does an individual need earned income to open a Roth IRA? And Kim, the answer is yes, you must have earned income or compensation in order to open a Roth IRA. The annual amount that you can contribute to a Roth is solely dependent on your adjusted gross income as determined by your federal income tax return. And by the way, most planners will tell you that the long-term benefits of a Roth over a traditional IRA are far greater. So if you do have earned income, I think it's a great idea to open a Roth IRA.
You know, Chuck, the next listener that wrote in is Ellen. She's from Torrance, California. And she says, I continue to enjoy hearing your daily broadcast, and I feel blessed to receive helpful financial information from a biblical perspective. My husband and I are looking to place between $10,000 and $15,000 in some safe place for the next 12 months. What would you recommend?
Well, Ellen, I think it's a great question. I think the safest place right now would be some sort of CD or money market fund at your local bank that is FDIC insured or there's an opportunity to find an online bank that's also FDIC insured, and you may be able to get a little bit better rate there. Now, remember, that's saving money for the next 12 months. It's not investing money. Anytime you invest money, you're willing to put it at risk, and it can be lost. So your question doesn't say whether you want to invest or save it. You just are looking for a safe place. And a safe place is to put it where it's not at risk. And then don't forget, Ellen, if you're going to become an investor with that money, be sure to diversify it, as King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 11, into 7 or 8 different places.
You know, one of our cues, Ellen, is if you need it in 12 months, it means you need to be able to have it very liquid and have access to it.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. You've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Has your child outgrown a piggy bank but not yet ready for a credit card? Well, there's something in between, a practical tool for anyone that you can use to teach teenagers and college students how to handle money wisely before they face greater financial decisions. It's the Cash Organizer from Crown Financial Ministries. The Cash Organizer is a durable, expanding file that's not much bigger than a checkbook. It's designed to create a convenient way to practice envelope budgeting, the proven way to keep from spending more than you make. With the Cash Organizer, when an envelope is empty, you can't spend any more money until you earn more money. It'll not only help your teenager or college student take control of their cash, but will also develop money management habits that'll prepare them for a lifetime. You can order the Cash Organizer online at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. In the studio with me is Sharon Epps. And Sharon, today we're answering listener questions.
We know you had a listener ask you a very personal question. This was from Angela. She says, on a recent program, I heard you encouraging Christians to have a biblical view of children instead of going with cultural norms. I was wondering if you would mind sharing about your experience of having children when you're older and you already have children.
Now, what makes her think I'm older?
We won't make any guesses today.
I actually think I have admitted to that.
I think you have. We are 39 and considering it, but I'm concerned about taking away from our other children who are 4, 7, and 9. I'm also concerned with health risk. Can you share what your experience has been in general?
Well, Angela, thanks for writing and asking, and I think it's a wonderful question to take before the Lord, and it's a decision that has to be motivated from your own heart, united with your spouse, and with confirmation from the Lord, because there are health risks at your age and at the age that the Lord gave us more children. And in fact, in our experience, Ann and I were able to accept those risks, that we knew that there could be problems for her as well as higher risk with the children. But we said, Lord, we believe that children should be a priority, and we've always wanted to have more. And if you will open Ann's womb, then we will be delighted to receive more gifts from you. And in our own life, we felt like more children would be a greater blessing, even though there were going to be a drastic difference in their ages. And it has truly turned out to exceed our greatest expectations. The children are all a blessing. They love each other. It's a little different to have one that's 27 and one that's 9. And they're brothers instead of uncles or cousins, but they're actually very close. In terms of the demands on our life, it is demanding financially, it's demanding emotionally, and it's demanding physically. The person who said that children keep you young didn't have them after 40. I say they keep you tired. But they're such an enormous blessing. We wouldn't trade it for anything. I just cannot imagine choosing to have more things or possessions over more children. So that's our perspective, and I appreciate you noticing. And Lord bless you as you seek His will for the decision that you and your husband need to make.
You know, Chuck, my oldest is 29 and youngest is 12, and we've certainly experienced that in our household as well. And we found that with our youngest daughter, we're having the opportunity to enjoy her in fresh new ways that we didn't with the older when we were so busy and just trying to keep things going.
Yes, people always ask us, what are you going to do differently with your second set of children? And I say, I'm going to make different mistakes than I made
exactly
the first time around.
And the older ones certainly point those out.
They all realize that we have feet of clay. Well, Sharon, our God Provides City Tour is well underway, and we're headed to Raleigh, North Carolina.
We're looking forward to seeing you if you're in the Raleigh area on Thursday, March the 18th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Providence Baptist Church. Go to crown.org/register to sign up, get directions, and other important information.
Well, I hope to see you there, and I would love to meet you and hear your testimony. Thanks for joining us today. You've been listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again next time.